6:30, and Greg Pittman and Herb Roy and some others are going to cook us a meal, and we'll have a meal together, and then after that we'll have a time where the ladies will go in a, with themselves and have a time where they can share among one another what God has done in your life through the study of the book of Job. And the men will do the same thing. And we'll probably just stay right, if we eat in here, we'll stay in here. If we eat in the gym, the men will stay in the gym, and the ladies will probably go upstairs. And the cost of that meal is usually somewhere about $6 or $7, and we'll just have a plate set up, and if you're able to pay that amount, then you just put it in there. If you're able to pay more than that, you pay more than that. If you're not able to pay any of it, don't pay any of it. And I'll tell you, one of the neat things that we've watched God do in this study over the years is that when we open up a time like that for people to give, this Bible study has always been more than self-funding. You know, there's always been actually a little bit extra in addition to what the costs are. I've had a couple people come up to me and say, how about the books? Do I need to pay you, you know, for the book and the notebook? And there's never a charge to be in this study. And but those books do cost. And if you say, hey, I want to make a contribution towards the cost of those books, then you can do that on the 12th of December when we get together. But feel absolutely zero obligation to participate in that. God just always works it out. It's sure that comes as no surprise to you guys, but that's the way he does it. So 2 weeks from tonight, a wonderful time, fellowship dinner, 6:30 here at the church. And we're going to cook for everybody. So you just let your huddle leader know if you will not be here. And that's kind of how we'll do it. We'll kind of plan on everyone. And but if you tell your huddle leader that you're not coming, then great, we won't cook for you. So, okay, Dave and Janie, come lead us in singing, and then Waylon will come and teach us.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Looking for songs this week. Tried to find something that was a little bit uplifting. It's nice to find something uplifting in the middle of all these good friends that Joe had, giving them all this great advice. But there were two verses that really spoke to me through the book of Job as very uplifting verses. And it just happens to be that there's a song associated with each of those verses. The first verse comes out of Job 1:21. You all know it. It says, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the song we're going to sing is Blessed Be the Name. If you'll just take your hymnals and turn to page 103, we're going to sing all three verses of 103, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Could you stand, please? Everybody's favorite verse from the last couple, most of you would say 19:25, right? My Redeemer lives. I found a song here that has to do with our Redeemer. It's on page 521. It's called Redeem. I'll read that verse to you first. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on earth. Job 19:25. Let's sing all four verses of 521.
Good evening. I won't use my line. Kenny's already induced that night, and it is that night that we look forward to. I like that. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I can do the week we mix. That's right. TGIM. But actually, can I share something with you, Pittman?
Yes, you can.
This kind of blessed my heart. It was a certain individual that came in here that night and stood right in here, he said, amongst this empty room, and shouted out, TGIM. So, it did happen. So, I'm not, you know, it happened that night. I just thought I'd share that with you. That blessed my heart for somebody to tell me that. But it is that time. I'm glad to be back. And we've covered a lot of stuff. And I'm going to kind of add the other one, you know. Thanksgiving is behind us now. And Walmart started this back in August, so Merry Christmas. Yeah, it is that time of the season now, so, you know, it is Merry Christmas time. It's a time when we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the one who came to redeem us. So it is a wonderful time, a wonderful season, a great opportunity to share with others, you know, what that truly means to us when we say Merry Christmas. Chapters 18 through 25 really is kind of where we've been. Of course, this week it was, you know, I think, what, 22 through 25 or 23 through 25. But, you know, I thought, how are we going to try to encompass 18 through 25? That's a lot to dig into, a lot to do. And I kind of did some math. I figured if we kind of give each one of them about 30 minutes or maybe left, 12:30. We're out of here tonight, 12:30. Anybody got a curfew? I see some starting to move right now. Actually, I thought, how can we cover them all? And I was looking at something, and I ran across something. I know some of you in here have done some of these devotions that our church does, the 30 days. I know Cheryl has done some and some others. But this month, Billy Hazeltine is one of the writers of the month. But on Sunday the 13th, this was his devotion. And it covers 18 through 25, all those chapters. I'm going to read it to you first, and then I'll kind of go back and kind of share with you how I saw that it covered all the things that we have seen, the debates between Job and his friends, and then Job's, you know, discourse and stuff itself. He says, in a world of injustice, we can take comfort in this. God is righteous and just. We are constantly confronted with the sad news of atrocities committed on a daily basis around the globe. How do we live in a world like this? Like David, we find refuge in God. When we focus on Him, we will have a song to sing, even in a world of injustice. Find refuge in God. That was his last thing. His scripture was Psalm 7:17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. Now you're saying, well, Waylon, how does that cover 18 through 25? In a world of injustice, if we went back to chapter 18 and we went to chapter 20, we saw where there was the injustice of the wicked talked about by Eliphaz and also Job. He goes on to say, Billy says, we can take comfort in this. God is righteous and just. Did we hear anything about God's righteousness this week in study? What chapter was it? I'm not asking a trick question. Where's John at? John, that's not a trick. And I apologize for that trick question I asked the other week. John called me out on it about, you know, humiliation. Is that part of suffering? It was kind of one of those limbo things. I apologize, John. I said I never. This is not a trick question. We studied about God's righteousness. Where was it? Chapter 25 and 23. Where I think Job talks about the righteousness of God in chapter 23. Billy goes on, he says, we are constantly confronted with the sad news of atrocities committed on a daily basis around the globe. Again, there you see what the wicked do. We taught those debates between about what the wicked and what do. Chapters 20 and 24. How do we live in a world like this? If you remember chapter 21, Job's discourse is on that very thing. How do the wicked get by with this? And you know what is going to, he gives a discourse on the wicked and what all they're doing. He goes on when he says, like David, we find refuge in God. At the end of chapter, at 25, when I think is, which one speaks in chapter 25? Is it Bildad? Bildad, he really is speaking about, you know, how God has dominion over everything. And really we take the refuge in God there. And then Billy finished up, when we focus on Him, we find we have a song to sing. Which chapter hadn't I mentioned yet? Not a trick question. I'm making you listen tonight, ain't I? 19. Good, Deborah. I love how Deborah knows the answer, but she won. 19. What's the song we sing from 19? We just sang it. My Redeemer Lives. My Redeemer Lives. See there? Class is over. We covered all of them right there in that one thing with Billy. Isn't that good stuff? We went all the way through it. Even in a world of injustice, we have that psalm, My Redeemer Lives. And think about what was going on with Job. Was he having some injustice? Sure he was from those friends. I mean, they were falsely accusing him of being just part of the wicked. So we've covered all those. Now we're going to back up and just do one chapter. We're going to do the one chapter, which I really think is what, it's kind of funny how these things go together tonight when Janie and Dave chose redeem tonight. I had not talked with them one bit about what, you know, had kind of been laid on my heart. I got an email from somebody said just how powerful chapter 19 was. So we're going kind of back. We're not going to do this week. We're going back and pick up chapter 19 tonight, and that's what we're going to look at. The title of tonight's lesson is Our Heart Yearns, For We Know Our Redeemer Lives. The very thing that Job spoke of in chapter 19. And I like this quote by Chuck Noll. And you got to kind of think about Job and his situation and all that's going on with him. Leaving the game plan is a sign of panic. And panic is not in our game plan. Christians, believers in Christ, believers in the Redeemer, we have a game plan. We have a great game plan. But there's one who wants to get us away from that game plan. If he can get us to panic, we can quickly get away from what God, our faith, and our start to stagger. And so I thought that was a great quote. We ended this week's study with the debates. The debates are over. Give me the verdict that the friends of Job have finally come up with on Job. The debates are over. We finished it. There's no more debates between those three friends and Job this as we go through the rest of the book. But what was the verdict with Job's friends on Job? Guilty. See, it's just that easy. He's guilty. Job, you're just as wicked as all those who are being punished by God for their wickedness. That's the way they saw him. Like David said, Job, you're guilty, and you deserve the punishment that God is giving you. Now, that's kind of tough medicine for Job to swallow when he really thinking, you know, what have I done? And in his case of trying to defend, you know, him trying to show faith in his God, they've constantly just come back on him. Job, in chapter 19, he seeks pity from his friends. But his friends won't give him any. As we've studied, his friends just continue to chew Job up and spit him out. Tonight, I wanted us to kind of look at chapter 19, and really cover the whole chapter. And we're going to do it a little different tonight. I hope you have your Bibles with you. I'm sure you have your Bibles with you. We're going to split this up, and we're going to read it. We're going to read God's Word, and then we're going to lecture together tonight. We're going to talk about what are these verses saying to us and what are we gaining from God's word on these verses here. My heading for this, and this is the New King James Version, Job trusts in his Redeemer. Take a few moments and read verses 1 through 6. And as you're reading, if God lays something on your heart or your mind, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, write it in that little place right there that I left for you for one. Or if you've got something written in your Bible right there, for tonight is going to be a time for us to share together. Tormenting friends, that's kind of how I headed this section up. I'll give you a few minutes to read over that, and then we'll discuss it. Then Job answered and said, "How long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? Then 10 times you have reproached me. These 10 times you have reproached me. You are not ashamed that you have wronged me. And if indeed I have erred, my error remains with me. If indeed you exalt yourselves against me and plead my disgrace against me, know then that God has wronged me, and has surrounded me with his net. What do you get from those six verses? That's Job responding to his friends and what they have said to him and what he has been going through. 19, we're halfway through almost the 42 chapters of Job at 19. Really, we're past halfway if we go through the 25 we had this week. But so this is a great chapter to look at in God's Word. What does it say to you in those six chapters? Show me what I have done. All they've done is accused him thus far. They haven't showed him anything. Yeah, Paul? Yeah. What about, it's almost like he tells them that they don't have the right to judge him. I kind of thought about that. Do we ever judge others? It's easy to do. It's easy to do. But there's a great lesson for us there about judging others, especially since we know Job's situation and what is going on. Anybody else, what do you get out of those six verses? Did it speak to you in a certain way? Their words are worse than sticks and stones, aren't they, Clayton? You know, they're really beating Job down with their words. But yet they're called as friends. Anything else? Michael. It's a great point. God is the judge of all men. Men, women, we're not the judges. God is the judge. And we, you know, somebody doesn't have to explain to me, you know, their situation. My situation is to be there to support them. Anybody else? Anybody? Great, great stuff. Anybody else? It's, you read those verses and you're thinking, okay, they just have beat Job up. But there's so much for us to learn there. It is so much for us to learn in those six verses about how friends can torment others, especially, you know, Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. These came to support Job, but instead of supporting him, instead of encouraging him, they immediately wanted Job to explain why he had sinned, and they were telling him that he was just as all the wicked were. And the fact of it is, you know, we're all wicked. None are righteous. No, not one. Remember in our study of Romans, we studied that. Paul, you know, declared that. And I love in Romans, when we studied Romans, remember Paul in that first chapter, he starts listing all those who have debased minds and have turned from God and doing this and doing that. And then remember how Job starts chapter 2? He says, if you judge any of them, you are just as guilty as they are. That's eye-opening right there. And we see that with the friends here of Job. All right, let's look at this second section, 7 through 12. We'll give you time to read that. Under siege. If I cry out concerning wrong, I am not heard. If I cry aloud, there is no justice. He has fenced up my way so that I cannot pass. And he has set darkness in my paths. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He breaks me down on every side, and I am gone. My hope, he is uprooted like a tree. He has also kindled his wrath against me, and he counts me as one of his enemies. His troops come together and build up their road against me. They encamp all around my tent. Who is Job referring to here? God. God. So what's that say to you there? Our heading is under siege. He's in a fight he can't win. It's almost that vision of a army encircling this city. Especially if you go back and read it backwards. If you started at 12 and went up the other way, where the troops encircle the city. And then from that point, they take and they consider you their enemy. And it's almost like, you know, that part of a city under siege. And they come in and they take the king and they dethrone him. You know, Job, he sees himself as really a defenseless criminal. You know, he just don't know which way to go. What do some of y'all get out of that? God's in control. How do you think Job, when you read that right there, how do you think Job sees his life? Hopeless. Because he told it right in there, didn't he? Gail, my hope is like uprooted like a tree. And you take a tree and you uproot it. Anybody, landscapers here? No landscapers? Wait a minute. That is the new job. You mean all these trailers I pass going up and down this road and everybody's got landscape lawnmower. There's not a landscaper in here? Come on with me. Thank you, Herb. I was there. All right, Herb. Okay. Now, so when you jerk that tree out of the ground, you turn the roots up, what happens to that tree? It dies. It dies. You know, hopeless. That's exactly right, Gil. That's where Job finds himself. How do you take this verse right here, 11? And he counts me as one of his enemies. That's what Job says about God. He counts me as one of his enemies. Talk to me. Now, hey, remember I said, y'all go talk to me. If y'all want to stay 12:30, we will. I can make these things go as long as I want to, you know, because I'm up here. But I don't want to. Talk to me. The question is, I love that. What do you think that's talking when he says, and he counts me as one of his enemies? God counts Job. Job's saying he counts me as one of his. What do you think that? What does that mean to you?
I believe he said he'd be treating me better if he did.
Do what now?
God be treating me better if he didn't count me as
an enemy. He'd be, okay. All right. I like that, Herb.
Yeah. Grouping men with the wicked.
Ooh, okay. And Job has talked about that before, hadn't he? Being grouped in with the wicked because his friends have thrown him in with the wicked. Good point, John. Go back to what God said about Job in chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 2, verse 3. Remember that? I don't remember one time God saying anything about, yeah, try my servant Job. Also, he's my enemy. Not what God said. Kenny?
You know, it's just brutal to be in the pit.
Oh.
You don't see things right. I think it's one of the great things to come out of the study.
pride yourself in or think you know is questioned, I believe, during that time.
We're getting to some deep points here. We really are, in times of suffering, in times when, as Kenny said, or Herb speaking of, you're in that bottom pit. You're right at the bottom of that pit in your suffering. You know, life is worse than death. That's where Job is. In this particular time, life is worse than death. He's still living, but life is worse than death. We've already studied where he said, you know, why was I even born? I wouldn't have to be dealing with, I wouldn't be in this pit, you know. But it does bring us to that point that we wonder in some, where are you, God? I mean, we already know what kind of man Job was. 1:8-2:3 tells us that. So we know the kind of man Job was. But here he is now, you know, just, and his friends have not helped any. So, you know, he's gone from a man who had plenty of strength to just total weakness in this point of suffering. He's under siege. Job, he almost feels like I'm at warfare with God. Because every one of those things he's talking about, what God has done, I'm at warfare with God. I think Job can really handle the warfare with his friends better than this one, this part right here, the warfare he's having with God, being one of God's enemies. This is where I'm trying to go with this. That's the one place Satan wants to get all of us. That we get to the point in that low pit that we think God is our enemy. That's straight from the other pit, the pit of hell. That's where Satan wants to take us. That's where Satan wants to get us. And he, remember, let's don't miss that part of the equation. He is in this equation here. You can do anything you want to him, but you're not going to take his life, Satan. So don't forget Satan's in the equation. If he can get you to that point. See, he thinks right now he's got Job right there. Remember what he's trying to do. What's he trying to do with Job? Make him curse God. Do you think Job is almost there when we read that right there? That's where Satan, he's going to stick both fangs just as deep as he can get and put all the poison he can put out into him. And so remember that. That's where when Satan wants us to be at that point where we think God is our enemy. How sad. Because we know there is no such world as that. God is not the enemy. God loves the unrighteous and the right. He wants all. His long-suffering and his tolerance and forbearance is that all will return back to him and be saved. He has no enemies. Let's look at section 3. Section 3, verses 13 through 22. One of the longer little sections. Who do I turn to? This is good stuff. Y'all bringing some good stuff to the table tonight. He has removed my brothers far from me, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My relatives have failed, and my close friends have forgotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I call my servant, but he gives no answer. I beg him with my mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife, and I am repulsive to the children of my own body. Even young children despise me. I arise and they speak against me. All my close friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me. My bones clings to my skin and to my flesh, and I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me. Have pity on me, O you, my friends. For the hand of God has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does and are not satisfied with my flesh? You can hear Job saying, who do I turn to? That's the section where how does this speak to you? Steve?
Well, the first section is talking about his friends, and the second section is about God, and now he's talking about the rest of the people in the world.
The rest of the people that was a part of his life. Right. Right. Good point. You see it split up there. That's right, y'all supposed to be talking to me. Mary, you're writing a lot down there. Absolute loneliness. I like that transparent answer. That's what I hear there. That is good stuff, Mary. Absolute loneliness. Oh, great point, Peggy. Great point. Even those, even those who were right there, they're gone. That's what he's saying. And he had put faith in them, and how that hurts him now because of absolute loneliness. Surely my closest, surely children would come, my grandchildren. You know, if that's who he's talking about. Yeah, John.
That's 180 flip-flop. Before this, he was respected. Now it's 180 degrees
of disrespect. He was, like John said, he was probably a patriarch. Somebody had total respect. And you're truly, in this society, that's the way it was. That patriarch was supposed to have respect. But look at verse 18. Even young children despise me, and I arise and they speak against me. Now, in that society, the patriarch had honor. But now, Job has no honor. Remember what I told you earlier? Does the trick question, John? Does humiliation go along with suffering? That's what I hear right there. Job's being humiliated by the children now. They don't even want it. Yeah, Paul. Great point, Paul. Great point.
Good thing they didn't have Facebook.
Woo! That's scary. That is scary. You're right. What else? That's good. Absolute loneliness. Don't put your faith in others, but totally in God. What else? That, you know. And the fact that the rest of society has just also turned their back. Even the servants, they don't want anything to do with Job. And I don't see anywhere in God's word where it said Job mistreated any of his servants. What else? Anything else there? Job definitely has no one to turn to. Let's finish this last. Let's get to the dessert here. The last section, 23 through 27. before I read this section, I want to go back and hit verse 21 again, where Job said, "For the hand of God has struck me." Remember what Hebrews says? Hebrews 10:31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Even a man of God like Job was. And in that particular verse, the Hebrews, the writer, speaking of the vengeance towards the wicked and the judgment that they will have to take. Verse 23 through 27. "Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever." Let me just stop right there before we read the rest. Does anybody have anything they want to say about that one? That little section? I'm going to split this one up. Amen. Amen, Kenny. Job's prayer, as we read it, is answered. They are, as Kenny said. They're right here before us. As we read it, the very thing Job spoke of is given to us. I like the analogy there. Lead. Lead stays there a while, you know that? Now if a house is built before 1977, oh, you got to make sure you ain't got lead this and lead that and lead everything else. Almost as bad as that black mold, ain't it, Mary? Can't get rid of it. I love God's word and what it talks about there forever, eternal. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me." What does that say to you? Woo, hallelujah. Did y'all hear what Deborah said? Satan lost his wager. Amen. That's a great thing to write in that little section right there. Satan lost his wager. I kind of thought about that there when I was reading. Can you imagine what Satan is thinking when Job says that? Oh, man. Can you imagine what God is, my servant? What else? That's great, Deborah. Satan lost the wager. What else? Right there. Hallelujah, Brian. Yeah. He made it his story. Here's my story. My Redeemer lives. It's not part of my game plan to give up. Job really says, "Here's my faith." It's all about faith. Here's my faith. You're seeing Job's faith come out of the pit right here. Remember, we've been talking about it. Job's been in the pit. Satan had the chokehold on him, he thought. But that faith shines through now for Job. And Satan has lost his grip. What else? Thank you for sharing that, Brian. Turn to page. And we're called to turn to page. Yeah, Michael. What a great point. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. Job hadn't seen this Redeemer. But by faith. Has any of us seen the Redeemer? Actually with our eyes? I don't ask trick questions, y'all. By faith. Great point, Michael. Great point. Great point. I wouldn't have given that to you. I wouldn't give that to you tonight. That's why we're doing it this way. Thank you, Michael. Thank all of you. What else? What else do you get out of that right there? Something that you may have written in there beside your Bible. Share it with us now. Now's this perfect. I love what Brian said. Brian shared what he'd heard Brother Bill say that was so applicable to what we're looking at here. Because when it says, how my heart yearns within me, are we not hearing Job's hope right there? You're hearing a man come out of the pit with hope, who's walking by faith and not by sight. He knows you're going to see him, but right now it's all about Job's faith is looking ahead. It's not looking behind, it's looking ahead. That's a wonderful thing. That's a Merry Christmas Day. That's the best kind of present any of us will ever get. To be where Job is and to realize it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. What else? Anybody else? Something else. I don't want to cut anybody off. Something I want to share with something. The Holy Spirit's laid on your heart. Denise? I like. So many times, and especially with Job's friends, they worry about Job rather than worry about their own sins and where my relationship is with the Lord. For Job to be able to say what he said, he figured that his relationship with the Lord was where it was supposed to be. He knew that his Redeemer would save him. It wasn't about what Job did, it was about his Redeemer, God. Now, stop right here, and nobody's missing. What did we learn when we studied when we talk about this Redeemer? What was that? What did that mean when we studied? Remember the word redeemed? What did it mean? Well, they took us back to some chapters and we went to Ruth and we went there. What did redeem? To redeem somebody, what does that mean? Excuse me? Not guilty. Right. You are not guilty. But how do, what, remember, I'm gonna throw the other word maybe in here. Kinsman redeemer. Remember that was part of our study. A kinsman redeemer. Talk to me. You get bought and paid for. Who's buying and who's paying? Talk to me. Don't leave me hanging like that, Doug. I don't know. And I love that. You're dead on it. But tell me who's buying and who's paying. The relative was supposed to assume his family member's debt and pay for it, right? Remember that? Ooh, Christ paid it. Paid in full. Listen to this right here on this very topic of what we're talking about here. This is from Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon says there's two redemptions. Remember that redeeming price we're talking about here. Redeemed by price, when that failed, then you redeem by power. In other words, if you couldn't redeem by price, you had to redeem by power. There was a blood redemption involved. If the price wouldn't get it, if Kenny wasn't going to let me out of my debt, well then, that was a power where, you know, you go in there and take other realms. But here's what else he says. It says, redeemed by power and by price, both Christ has done for us. By price, his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. By power, His divine spirit coming into our hearts and renewing our souls. That's good stuff right there. That's what Christ did. He didn't only pay the price for our sins with the sacrifice, but he also paid it with the power of the Holy Spirit coming into us, the promise that came to us. Job yearned, his heart yearned to look ahead to the day when he would see his Redeemer before him standing there. And then right at the end, Doug brought up something. I didn't add this, but in the huddle, believe it or not, I listen in those huddles, Doug. I know you think I don't, but I listen some. Doug brought up the point about Job in these last two verses, 28 and 29. If you should say, how shall we persecute him, since the root of the matter is found in me, be afraid of the sword for yourselves, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know there is judgment. Job shows his kindness to his friends and the fact that he warns them. If you're going to judge me, understand that you're going to be judged yourself. Job didn't like, aha, you'll get your... Mm-mm. He warns them. Think about what you're doing. You're judging me. Understand, there's judgment coming your way. I appreciate it. I hadn't even thought about that side of it, Doug, when I read that. Anybody else want to bring anything else to the table? Yes, Steve. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's almost like in, 25, Bildad? I like what Bildad says in 25. It's almost like it's a different thought going through his mind. How can man be righteous when in 23, Job talked about the righteousness, of God. Dominion and fear belong to him. He makes peace in his high places. Is there any number to his armies? Upon whom does his light not rise? How then can man be righteous before God? How can he be pure who is born of a woman? The very thing Job talked about. Job realized he couldn't be righteous. He wasn't pure. But his Redeemer would be. And he would be that. Remember, Job's been crying out for that man, that advocate, that one to speak for him. And now Job realizes that Redeemer will. His Redeemer lives. One day he would see him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for being our Redeemer, for being our kinsman Redeemer. Father, you created us and you made us in your image. Lord, when Adam and Eve sinned against you, we all fail. And Lord, in their sin, they hid themselves with the fig leaves. But Father, you as the kinsman redeemer shed blood from one. They had two fig leaves. You shed blood from one animal that they would be covered. And Father, you have always been preparing a way for us, your children, your creation, to be redeemed. Father, let us carry that message, Lord, with us into the world. Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to give us strength in our weakness. Strength, Father, when Satan thinks he has us by the neck and our faith grows weak. That, Lord, we do, as Michael said, we walk by faith, not by sight. And that will bring glory to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this great book, for this book of Job, where, Lord, we see more and more of how you, Lord, are sovereign over all things. God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for participating tonight. That was a little different, but I enjoyed it.